نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال الله تعالى إذن والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين صدق الله العظيم وصدق المولانا الكريم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My respected brothers and elders, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending durood and salam to our guided mentor, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and sent us in this world, and He sent us with a very specific objective, unambiguous, without any confusion. Everybody can understand it in any language. That's how clear it is. You don't need to be educated to understand it. You don't need to go to school to understand what is the purpose of our life. But yet, in the simplicity and straightforwardness of this, you will find that there are millions, if not billions, of so-called educated people who are still searching, for the object of their life. If you study philosophy, then you'll see they wonder, why have we been created? Some are still confused, what was the beginning of the creation? Unfortunately, and they call themselves so-called educated people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken all the difficulty away from us. What a simple, unambiguous sentence. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have created jinn, kind and humankind, insan and jinnat, for my worship. Now who is there that doesn't understand this? So our objective is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can claim ignorance of this on the day of Qiyamah to say, you know what, I didn't make my salah, I didn't know, there was no azan, or I didn't see a masjid. No excuse. I didn't follow the sunnah because I didn't know. No excuse. We know everything else. Then the key to the hereafter, we shouldn't understand and know. It shouldn't be difficult for us. For this year, to make us understand what is the object of our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave us alone. A simple sentence, but Allah didn't leave us alone. That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ The greatest ni'mat to us was the gift of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is saying, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ My favor and my benefit to you. الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ When I sent a Nabi from amongst them. That was a gift to us. To make us understand how I'm going to fulfill the sentence, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ How do I qualify? How do I fulfill this here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ هَذَا بَاطِلَ I have not created this entire system in vain, without any purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the system of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. To make us understand what is the purpose of our life. To recognize Allah and worship Allah. And then how to do it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا In the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful example. Every time that a nation went astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them a Nabi. And the Nabi made effort on them. So all the incidents that we have in the Quran, these are not stories, you know, that we read the story and pass our time. These are what you will call case studies. Today you want to become a lawyer, or you want to see law, then you study case studies. Because law will be passed on the case that was done previously. If there was a successful plea or fight in that case, that will be used as a precedent. Case studies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us case studies of all the Anbiya alayhimus salam. That every time a nation went astray, a Nabi was sent to them. If they were involved, if they got too involved in dunya, whether it was business, then a Nabi was sent to them. If it was farming and agriculture, Qumus Saba, then a Nabi was sent to them. If it was engineering, then Ad and Thamud, then a Nabi was sent to them. To make them understand that where your success lies. This year is just a means for you to understand who your Allah is. So all those systems, all those case studies, when we read about it, whether it's from Nuh alayhi salam, right to our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are case studies for us. Allah has included it in our book, so that we may take lesson. The state of history will repeat itself. If we get involved in dunya, then we will meet the fate of those before us. If wealth becomes our primary objective, then Fir'aun, Qarun, these are the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, see what happened to them. If it is position, you know, status, then it's Haman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about him in the Quran. Allah is giving examples about them. That, oh my servants, don't make a mistake. These people came before you, and they thought they were above the law. So our punishment came to them. This is for a lesson for you, to take lesson from it. So all these ills of the heart, of the society, passed before us. Now we are the final ummah. All those things will manifest themselves. Maybe more, even worse. But the solution, Allah has given us a solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum. Right? Today I have perfected my gift to you. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Islam Adina. That I have two things our ulama Mufassirun explain in the ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have perfected my ni'mat for you. One, Islam is a gift, a ni'mat for us. Two, it's an amanat. It's a responsibility. وَغَدِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ Allah, our Creator, is telling us that I've given a system that I'm happy with for you. If you follow this system, then whatever challenges come to you, you will be able to handle it. If we're looking for solutions outside the system, today we like to think out of the box, and if that box is not confined to the Sunnah, then we're looking for trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete deen. We don't have to add to it. How fortunate we are. We don't have to add to it, nor do we have to subtract from it. Layluha kanahariha. The sunnah and the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so clear. The night is as clear as the day. We are in no darkness. We are in no confusion of what is expected of us as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of us, we only got one chance to understand who Allah is. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ We've only got one life. We don't have a second chance. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمُوتِ Our chance will come to an end at death. Everybody that came before us has passed, and we too, one day we will go. Nobody will stay forever. We attend a janazah, Malak al-Maut comes, and he sees the mayit is lying there, and the people all are crying around there. Malak al-Maut addresses the people and he says, you know what? I looked at the record of this person. There wasn't one morsel of food left for him in his record. I looked again and I saw there was not one sip of water left for this person. Why are you all crying? I looked again. There wasn't one breath that he could take left. So his quota was finished. I had to take his soul. Don't cry. Why? Because I will come back and take each one of you till this entire room will be emptied. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ We are all going to die. We have to prepare for the time of death. We have to prepare for the life of the year after. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَيَيَا الْحَيَوَانِ Allah SWT is saying, indeed the life of the year after, that is the life that we have to prepare for and look forward to. That's what we have to make an effort for. Whatever we have, وَبَتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ Allah SWT is telling us that seek the year after from what I have given you. فِمَا أَعْتَاكَ اللَّهُ What we have doesn't belong to us. I didn't get it because of my acumen. I didn't get it because I went to university. I didn't get it because of any other reason. Allah SWT said, I gave it to you. You got it, it's an amanat. Amanat is we have to give it back to Allah. Allah will question us about this amanat. So we can't do as we please. It's not my life. It's not my money. It's not my family. To such an extent, we read in the hadith, Allah SWT says, I will question you about that wife to you. To fulfill your needs and necessities of this dunya. So everything is clear for us. Allah is going to question us on every single ni'mat. So how to lead our life? For that Allah SWT is saying, I have given you an example, a clear example, that of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi SAW made an effort on the Sahaba. The Sahaba understood. They understood what was their responsibility. What was their, what we say, responsibilities as ummatis of Nabi SAW. Two responsibilities we have. One as servants of Allah, and one as ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of us have that. Male and female. Baligh male and female. What is my responsibility to Allah as a slave of Allah? I mean, Abd, I'm a slave of Allah. What is my responsibility to Allah? We can't be oblivious of this. We can't now lead our life heedless to this. We can't be selective in how I fulfill the commands of Allah. فَدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةٍ Allah SWT says, enter into Islam completely. Not selectively. Like how the people before you did it. The Yahud. They took what they liked, what they didn't like, they discarded. We don't have that choice. Our deen is complete. We have only that one chance. So Allah SWT has given us this opportunity. How to make this life valuable? How to make it valuable? They make an effort and they think or they understand that what we attach to ourselves makes us valuable. So if I attach myself to a nice car, then I become valuable in the sight of people. If I attach myself to nice clothing, branded name or something, or a nice beautiful watch, or I live in a nice suburb with a nice big house, then I'm valuable. People, I've got now some status. Nabi SAW taught us that a value of insan is the sifat that he acquires. The sifat that we acquire. Sifat of taqwa. How to fear Allah SWT. Sifat of mujahada. How to undergo difficulty for the sake of Allah. For the deen of Allah. For hidayat. Allah has made it a principle. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا We all want hidayat. Because we're asking for it. Every day in every namaz we're asking for it. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Allah guide us. Allah give me hidayat. Allah give me hidayat. Because hidayat is what I'm going to need. In the qabr, in the first instance, there I will need hidayat. That guidance that you gave me, if I led my life like how Nabi SAW taught us to, then I will be able to answer those questions. We are in an imtihan. This is darul imtihan. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاتِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ Allah SWT says, I've created the system of living and dying, so I may test you. Al-ibtila, this is a place of test. When a child goes, a student goes into an exam, and he gets his paper, all of us must have written an exam at some time or the other. When he gets a test paper, they tell him, you've got 2 hours, 3 hours. 2 hours he is focused. He doesn't decide, now you know what, I need to take a break for half an hour after, now I want to sleep for a while, oh I'm not sure, let me rest. No, 2 hours, sometimes they can't finish the paper. Then you find their heart so depressed, that I left out a question of 15 marks. What's going to happen? But no, they are focused. They know I have to succeed. I've studied so hard. Our exam has started, you know when? When we turn baligh. We're in exam. Every second of our life is an imtihan. Allah is going to ask us about that examination that we have to go through. In every situation, it's an exam. How do I react to the situation that I'm in? Whether it's with my family, whether it's with my colleagues, whether it's with my neighbors, whether it's in my business. How did I react to these things? Because Nabi SAW gave us a set of norms. How to behave, how to act. So my respected brothers and elders, this is an effort. Effort of deen to come into our life. It doesn't come automatically. Somebody doesn't suddenly become a namazi. And when he's a namazi, he doesn't suddenly have concentration in his namaz. Because just making the action of namaz is not sufficient. Allah SWT says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ There's a mi'yar, a standard of our salah to be accepted. Where we have devotion and concentration, خَاشِعُونَ Those believers are successful. Allah is talking about them. So how much effort do we have to make into it? That when I say Allahu Akbar, that takbir at-tahrimah means what? Everything becomes haram. Not only am I allowed not to eat, drinking, also my thoughts. How do I focus on Allah? Because the thawab of our salah will be dependent on our concentration. If you focus 100% from start to finish, 100% thawab. If you focus 50%, then only 50% thawab. And if you didn't make an effort on salah, then what salah will say? Zayyakallah kama zayyak. He toss a rag, a vaslap, as you say, and will be smashed on his face and say, may Allah destroy you as you have destroyed me. Most important ibadat of ours. How much effort are we making on it? So it's an effort. Our whole life is an effort. Dunya is muqaddar. We're going to get it whether we like it or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity. We went now. I'm just talking of this effort of da'wah, this effort of deen. Allah gave us the opportunity to go to UK now. We just returned back on Monday. And UK, similar to the South Africa, they got their deen or this effort of da'wah and all that about 60 years ago. In the early 60s. Same time we got it. Otherwise, you know what was the condition of the UK? We met one of the elders there. And he was telling us. He said in the UK in the early 60s, late 70s, Jummah was performed on a Sunday. Because you couldn't get off from work. You're new to the country. Who are you going to ask? All the white men to give you off? No. So no problem. Sunday we off, we all make Jummah on Sunday. If you died in the week, tough luck. Wait till Sunday. Your janazah will only be performed on a Sunday. Not like us 24 hours. So when the effort of da'wah came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them. And then the madaris came up. The masajid came up. The maktabs came up. And then a level of deen that we see there today. We spend time in Birmingham and Leicester and that. Masajid, like you can't count. Birmingham, second largest city of UK. 300,000 plus Muslims. Masjids, countless. All the effort of deen. Effort of tabligh and da'wah. Here in this country, all our da'wah rooms are a result of the effort of da'wah and tabligh. Nothing else. First da'wah room, Mona Qasim Sema Rahmatullah Ali. Effort of da'wah and tabligh. When the first jamaat of our elders came in the late 60s, early 70s, they came first to visit him. In Washbank, small town. After that, he had the himmat to open up a madrasa. And now we've got students in our country from all over the world. You go to Azadwell, Kalimuddin, Camperdown, Nomania, all over the world are studying here. Servicing different parts of the world. Remember, we're only 2 billion, so-called 2 billion Muslims. There's still 6 billion non-Muslims. How much effort we have to make? How much we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this effort? Never think that we should turn our back against this effort that gave us this deen. All what we see around us. Our elders tell us in South Africa to find one lady in hijab was almost impossible in the 60s and 70s. Let's look at the 80s. Cape Town was ahead of us. They preceded us, the Indian Asians as you call us. There they call themselves Asians, we call them Indians. So, the Malay community preceded us. So they were better off, Cape Province. Here we couldn't find a hafiz for Tarawih. Till when? In the 80s. We should get imports from Cape Town, if not from Turkey. Tell them, send ulama, send hufas to us. Now, our madaris are producing. Almost every street we have a hafiz. Every street we have an alim. So many madrasas, so many maktabs. But it's still not enough. The more deen will come alive, the more shaitan will make an effort. Then we'll become complacent. We'll become complacent. And we'll be caught up in things that are now my passion. You see a guy, you know, I buy a bicycle for 100,000. Bicycle. Went for goods to the guy. Actually, his bicycle was far more than 100,000. So his father said, Maulana, come speak to this guy here. His bicycle is more expensive than his car. So I asked him, how much is your bicycle? He said, over 200,000. I said, why? He said, because I can lift it on one finger. And they ride up and down. I'm not against cyclists. Right? It's a good thing to do. But I mean, we need to prioritize. One thing about the UK people, I can tell you, they boycott. You'll never see a Coke or any other product. We complacent. We eat everywhere. We find our Muslims in Starbucks here. We're buying all over there. We don't believe in boycotting. And South Africans, we chow. So long as it's halal, I'm saying we chow anyway. We eat everywhere. But that boycotting aspect, the UK guys are far ahead of us. But there's lots of positives in that, and there's lots of concerns as well. So coming back to our situation, let's not turn our back on that effort that gave us our current situation in this country. Our beautiful masjids, now we're expanding big masjids. Turn the clock 50, 40 years ago, and then see where we were. Just because of this effort of da'wah and tabligh. That now we have madrasas, we have masjids, We have the effort of deen. We have people that all over, when guys come to our country from our foreign countries, they think it's Muslim country. But we tell them we're 2.5%. We are only 2.5%. How much effort we got left to make? We got 97% of our people in the country that we part of this country. We go to UK. The first thing ask you, you Gujarati. This is Gujarati Masjid. Which part of India are you from? I say, no idea. We had one guy from Cape Town. Say, which gam you from? He say, I don't know which gam. What are you talking about? Me, I'm from Cape Town. Constantia, I don't know what gam you talking about. So they still have that a little bit. Yeah, how much effort we must make? 97% of the people are on not knowing who Allah is. So my respected brothers and elders, Allah has given us this deen. They're not our ulama that have come up with this, they have not come up with their own, you know, just suddenly thought up what is Jamaat and Tabligh and all this and going against it. Many people, many intellectual or educated people have been fooled with the simplicity of this work, knocking at the door, you know. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Allah has given us this deen, you know. We got one short left. And I'm busy. You go for a gush, now you come to our complexes and I say, hey, move it on. I'm busy. I'll see you in the masjid, I read namaz. So I told the one guy, you know what, I'm not the muazzin, I didn't call you for namaz. That's the muazzin's job. We're calling you to Jamiu Majan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Your business is on interest. Your kids are not at home. They're not in the masjid. You in the masjid. We can give you a call, Guzar, as you all cry in Joburg. Father, I'll end up on this year. Jamaat goes and knocks his door in the complexes. Won't mention the name. This is last 2 years ago. I'm a 5 times namazi. Why are you guys coming by me, man? And as he's talking, his son walks past him. Say, speak to this guy. Speak to my son. He don't come masjid. About 21 years old. So when they speak to him, he told him, you know what? I don't come to the masjid. I don't believe in what you all believe. Now what you mean? What you talking? He said, I don't believe in Allah. You made an effort on yourself. Me, I followed something else. I don't believe in Islam and Allah and all these things. Now he's sitting down, now he's shocked. Now the Jamaat is also shocked. What must we do? Don't take things for granted, my respected brothers and elders. This phone is a global village. We don't know what our kids are being influenced in. In the UK. To give you an example, at the age of 8 and 9, they're giving them pamphlets. In the Quran, it's clear you can't have two Allahs. You can't have two ilahs. Believe in one Allah. That's the foundation of our deen, Tawheed. What are they teaching them? That you can have two gods. Why? Because Marvel comics say there's one God for this universe and there's one God for that universe. So at 8 years old, they're telling you why you can't have two Allahs when you can have two gods in the two universes. How do you explain to an 8-year-old then? These are the challenges. If it's happening there now, it's going to be soon on our doorstep. How much effort we must make? Don't take things for granted. This deen, it came with a lot of sacrifice. Sahaba sacrificed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed. This deen has reached us now. Let us not become complacent. Otherwise, that ni'mah that we have, Allah will take it away. Allah will test us. So we have things like this in our masajid. The gersh, the talim. At least listen to the alan. Don't turn your back on the alan. Now we notice in the masjid, even the poor Maulana, when he stands up, the guys are just walking out. Like the bird in a cage, you know. Just, I need to get out. I just need to get out. Okay, he's giving an alarm for 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Don't turn our back on that. It might be a means of our hidayat. Simple things. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.